Everyone, tonight's shiur sponsored by Sonny Shell Tarragon and family, as well as officials. We thank them for the sponsorship, we thank them for the shulins, and we thank you for coming. Our topic this evening is focused, I think last year we also spoke about this famous episode of Shimon and Levi and decimating and murdering the city of Shechem. You're all familiar with the story. The prince falls in love with Dina, maybe he raped her. Presumably he rapes her, he obviously desires her for a wife, and the family says, well, listen, you know, we can't just do this ad hoc basis, but if your whole tzibur will essentially be Megayer, we'll have Bris Milah, then we could have a whole, you know, a merger of the two nations, the two families, and of course they do the Bris Milah, and then on the third day, when they're weak, Shimon and Levi come and slaughter the city. Yaakov is very upset at the brothers, and of course they have their famous retort, you know, should our sister be a Zona? You know, we can't allow her to be Hefker, we had to take revenge. And, you know, it's one of the most, you know, especially if you like, you know, like Cops and Robbers, and, you know, when you were a little kid you played with, like, men, you know. This is, like, one of the great stories in the Chumash. And even as we get older, it becomes perhaps even a greater story, only because it's so stimulating and it's really so provocative. And there are so many more questions than there are answers, especially just from the Pashup Shot of the text. It's not clear what the debate between Yaakov and the sons were. It's not clear who was right. It's very fascinating story. From a strictly halakhic perspective, there is one very famous sugya which emerges out of this story, which I think we discussed last year, the year before, which is the question of the idea of dinim deben noach. What obligations do non-Jews have to legislate and to police themselves? That issue came out of a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. And in fact, it's that machlokes, which I want to use as a springboard tonight, but not to discuss that machlokes per se, but to discuss something that is hidden, so to speak, within it, which brings up the broader topic of gerus, of conversion. Because again, ostensibly, that's what the people of Shechem were going to be doing. They were going to be converting. So, again, in the context of this story, the Rambam, in a very famous comment, this, again, we spent more time on this last year, the Rambam says, why did the brothers kill them? Well, this is wanton murder, this is shift ekah, how could they do such a thing? So the Rambam is of the opinion that the whole city was in violation of one of the Shevetz of Bnei Noach, known as Dinim. Namely, that the Rambam understands that the mitzvah of Dinim is that the non-Jewish society in question is obligated to enforce all of the earlier six of the Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and since Arayos is one of the six, and this was a violation of Arayos, and they didn't punish the prince, on the contrary, they were all in it together with him, so to speak. So therefore, says the Rambam, the whole city, every one of them, even the most simple water carrier, so to speak, they were all in violation of Dinim, they all had that responsibility, and therefore they were all guilty of a capital offense, and therefore Shimon and Levi were within their rights to slaughter them. The Ramban, in his commentary on this story, there's a very lengthy, very important Ramban, which we won't do entirely inside now, but it's worth really reading inside. The Ramban very much argues on this Rambam. And among other things that he says is, well, if you're so convinced of the virtue of the brothers, then how do you understand Yaakov's non-action to begin with and his reaction after the fact? It doesn't sound like it was so obvious. So we'll get to in a moment what his explanation for the you know, what they did or the debate, but what the debate is. But what he says as an aside was what we focused on last time was that it's a different definition of dinim. He actually says that what dinim are, it doesn't make sense to say it's just subservient to the other six, just to legislate the other six, to enforce the other six. It says dinim is its own. And what does dinim mean? Dinim means you should have a civil society. And you should have rules. What the rules are? So that's an open question even within the Ramban. There's a famous discussion on the Achronim. To what extent are their rules supposed to approximate Arachosh and Mishpat? To what extent are they can be whatever they want? Which is the simple understanding. But you have to have a civil society. You have to legislate. And the Ramban even gives some examples. You have to have basic civil law, basic monetary policy. You can't have hefkeres. Dina means you can't live in the law of the jungle. There has to be some level of a civilized society. But that has nothing to do with this story here. It has nothing to do with this story. So why is it that...
Why are they not being over Dinim?
No, he says the Shechem may or may not have been in violation of Arayos. Wait, what does that have to do with what... They may have had all sorts of nice rules on the books about maybe they had a tax system, maybe they had a public school system. They had a civilized society, whether they were going to punish whether they knew about or whether he was culpable for what he did to Dina. Maybe he was guilty, but that wouldn't explain why the whole city should have been judged in violation of anything. That's the chiddush of the Rambam, that the whole city was liable for dinim. So the Ramban says that really, he says very explicitly, they killed the people out of revenge. They were Rishayim, these were people who were Rishayim, it wasn't just that it was Shechem, there was a whole culture of lust and lawlessness, and they were upset, they were Rishayim, and they wanted to kill them. That's what the Ramban says. And of course, that lowers the level of virtue of the brothers. That's a little bit of a negative. The upside is, of course, it makes Yaakov's disagreement with them more understandable. But in light of this, this is all really a hakdama for what I want to get to. Tucked away this lengthy Ramban, the Ramban does mention, didn't they have bris milah? And he doesn't use the words, if I remember correctly, but the implication he means is, weren't they converting? Who gave you a right to do that? Because the Ramban says the brothers saw they were Rishayim, these were non-Jews, they had this, that. Says Ramban, but weren't they having bris milah? Weren't they in the process of conversion? It doesn't say anything about mikvah, but I don't know, maybe. Even if not, but okay, they were in... Okay, so maybe they had it already. Maybe they had it already. Says Ramban, again, one thing we know, they had bris milah, and that was obviously in the process of conversion. So the Ramban says, well, the brothers felt that that wasn't lishma, that they were only doing it to be machnef l'adonayim. In other words, they were trying to Shechem and his father. They, you know, the king and the prince wanted them to do this. They felt they had no choice, or else they would have gotten knocked off themselves. Little do they know they're going to get knocked off anyway. But that's why they did it. It wasn't a sincere attempt. And if you look at the Chasam Sofer, the Chasam Sofer just fleshes out what does seem to be implicit in the Ramban, and that is that the Ramban seems to suggest that perhaps there was almost a quasi-Lomdish debate between Yaakov and his sons, whether they were, if not fully, but at least on a legitimate road to becoming legitimate gerim. And the presumption being that if they were, that's why Yaakov felt that you shouldn't do anything to them. Maybe they're doing tshuva. The Ramban has a line, and the Chasam Sofer develops this idea. Okay, it's true that the behavior right now is not exactly, you know, from the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. But they're in the process. They want to convert. Maybe this is the harbinger of a whole spiritual metamorphosis, as opposed to the brothers who didn't buy any of it and thought that this was completely insincere, and therefore there was no gerus. That is, you'll find that in the Ramban and some of the commentaries on the Ramban. How this relates to the story, working back into the story, you know, if this was a chumash here, there's a lot more to do. I'm not suggesting that I've tied up all the loose ends when it comes to the Pashup Shat and the chumash, or the debate between Yaakov and his brothers. But for the sake of the shir tonight, I use this to introduce a topic which I think is very widespread and very long and complicated. We won't be able to do it all. We'll see how much we can accomplish tonight. But I want to use that as a springboard to discuss gerus. And not gerus in general. We've had earlier shurim, I think, if I'm not mistaken, where we discussed the lumdus of Mila and gerus, and there are a lot of topics in gerus. It's a very fascinating and rich topic of study in lumdus and in learning. But I want to specifically focus on motives for gerus. To what extent are one's motives relevant, and to what extent are one's motives going to be definitional to whether one has a Kabbalah semitzvah? So if we assume, which we'll have to get to, I don't want to put the cart too far ahead of the horse, but if we assume that there has to be a Kabbalah semitzvah, so you're supposed to accept a lifestyle Torah mitzvah, but if I have ulterior motives for converting, so to what extent is that a zero-sum game? Is that impinging on any sense of Kabbalah semitzvah? So again, if I don't have Mila, if I don't go to the mikvah, so then presumably there's nothing to talk about. What we are talking about, where there is a real shaila, is if I go through all of the process of gerus, but perhaps I have ulterior motives. I don't just have this incredibly sincere motivation. We happen to have three that I know of, and there's probably more that I might not know of. I know of at least three male gerim in our shul, and I know the story of two of them, and even the third, I don't know his story, but he's a huge tzaddik. So I can only imagine that his story of conversion is also full of tzaddikus. But the two that I know are incredible stories. The sincerity, which is evident because of all the roadblocks that were put up in their way, intentionally and otherwise, that they overcame to pursue and to become, you know, they were so resilient in their conversion. It's unbelievable. One of them, when I first came to the shul, I may have mentioned this story in another context, the person was actually in crisis because a half year earlier, before I had moved here, from Gedalia Dov Schwartz had been here and spoke on Pesach about Geirus. Just overview of Hilchos Geirus. Apparently he said something that this person heard, and all of a sudden it hit him, oh, maybe I'm not a kosher ger. And in fact, to his great credit, he was in crisis. It was Yom Kippur. He was in crisis. He came to me. Mamish, that month Yom Kippur, I barely had anything to eat. And I was over at their house my first year here. I was in the shul barely a month. And massive religious crisis. I thought I was a Jew. Now I'm not sure if I am a Jew. I thought I could figure. Mamish didn't know who he was. And Mamish, an identity crisis. And we ended up pursuing it. And as it happens, we felt there was a need that he should go through the process of Geirus again, L'chumra. Maybe he was a good guy, maybe he wasn't. It wasn't such a simple Shiloh. And he was so sincere that he just said, if that's what I have to do, I want to do it. And I still remember, I had gotten to know him, of course, for the whole event. And when I brought together the Bez Din, I still remember I was sitting at the mikvah before we went in with Rabbi Shachatovitz and Rabbi Heinemann, who were the other two members of the Bez Din. And, you know, he went over his story again because they were prompting him and asking him questions, which is the process. And I remember, I still remember Rabbi Shachatovitz, I mean, Rabbi Heinemann also, Rabbi Shachatovitz was more emotional. They were just in a spell from his sincerity and how much he's been willing to give up. His whole family doesn't talk to him anymore. I mean, unbelievable, unbelievable stuff. So the typical Ger Tzedek has an incredible story, which is in direct contrast to everything we're going to be talking about tonight. The problem is that the overwhelming majority of conversions, certainly nowadays, but it's probably been going on for a while, don't bear any resemblance to this thumbnail sketch I just drew for you. The overwhelming number of conversions are far less than the sincere Geirus of a Yisro or of a Rus or even of some of the people we have in our own shul. And it's that topic which is huge, huge and incredibly complicated. Again, I don't want to address any of the specifics and I certainly don't want to get into the politics, but I'm sure you all know some of the issues that have been happening in Eretz Yisrael. I did discuss it at the time a little bit as in a drasha last year, some of the politics with the Rabbanut in Israel and America. And the bottom line is, even if some of the processes that are going on now or even some of the proposed solutions aren't always the best, there is a real problem. There is absolutely a real problem. There's absolutely a real problem because of this issue. So let's see if we can wade through, and really that's, I think, a good description, to wade through some of the complicated forest of halachos to try to get their hands around and try to understand the role of motivation or sincerity in Geirus and to what extent we can evaluate less than ideal or less than 100% sincere conversions. The Gemara in Masechta Yevamos is really one of the, if not the first source for this, and we'll really focus on this Gemara and a Rambam to open up the shir. The Gemara here seems to have a machlokas. This is on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis in Perek Sheni of Yevamos. Actually, later in Masechta Yevamos in Perek Hacholeit is actually one of the two main places in Shas for Hilchos, one of two, I mean, it comes up in other places, but one of the main discussions is the Perek Hacholeit. But this actually is an isolated discussion. The context, which if we have time, I'm not sure we'll get to back at the end of the shiur, the Mishnah here is discussing the prohibition of Nitan, which is an Issur Darabanan, which is that if there is a Jewish man who is suspected of having a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, even if she subsequently converts, they're not allowed to get married. Why is there an Issur Darabanan? Is the Machlokas Rishonim? And if we have time, we'll get to that and see that relates to some of the modern cases of Geirus. But that is the context here. And in light of that, the idea of somebody converting for the sake of marriage, Geirus L'Shem Ishus, converting for the sake of marriage, that's how that can be introduced right here in the Gemara. And the Gemara tells us, on the name of somebody named Rabbi Nechemya, Ish Sheneskayer L'Shem Isha, if a man is converting so that he can marry a Jewish woman, if Echad Isha Sheneskayer L'Shem Ish, or a woman is converting to marry a Jewish man, or Mishneskayer L'Shem Shulchan Malachim, he thinks he'll get power in the Jewish court, or L'Shem Avdei Shlomo, he wanted to work in the court of Shlomo Melech, as an example, Einam Gerim. So any ulterior motive, says the Gemara, whether it's a romantic one, or a political one, or a power, you know, sometimes the Jews are on top, you want to get in with the Jewish government, the Jewish bankers, whatever the motivation is, it's ulterior, it's not spiritual. Therefore, says Rabbi Nechemya, Einam Gerim. After all, he continues, this is related to his broader shita, you know, the machlokas about the Kutim, right, you know, who the Kutim were in Malachim Beis, and the whole machlokas, classic machlokas throughout Shas, whether they were sincere converts or whether they were as soon as Geri Arayos, they were scared by the lions into converting. Is sure enough, what does Rabbi Nechemya hold? Echad Geri Arayos to Echad Geri Chalomos. If some soothsayer or some other person tells the person, you know, you have to convert, so they're scared by their dream interpreter into converting, or they're scared by the lions into converting. Echad Geri Mordechai Esther. This is fascinating, right? We read every year in Purim at the end of the Megillah about how Rabbim Sadim, right? A lot of they were people were scared of the Jews and therefore they converted. Says Rabbi Nechemiah, none of those they're not real converts. They were insincere, they were just converting so they wouldn't get killed by Mordechai and his band of brothers. And therefore they were not real converts, says Rav Nechemiah. They need to reconvert. Bizman HaMashiach, they're not real converts. If they want to be, they're not, Ein Geirim HaYishin Iskariu Bizman HaZeh. They're not converts unless they would reconvert in a more sincere way. That's the next part of the Gemara. So the Gemara says all of that is... Because of that, we'll get to the Rambam. So, we'll see that in the Rambam. I'll leave that out for now in the Gemara. We'll see that in the Rambam. The Gemara basically has this lengthy exposition of the Shita of Rav Nechemiah, and then the Gemara somehow ends. It's almost a non sequitur, but I don't know where the Gemara says. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Bishmei Rav Halacha Kedivrei. We don't yet know who this Divrei is. The Gemara never tells us, but apparently there was somebody who disagreed with this, and the Gemara says Halacha Kedivrei Omer Kulam Gerim. Even though we've just gone through the whole thing of Nechemiah saying they're not Gerim. Gemara says, Halacha is like those who would say, even though they're not actually listed in the Gemara, who would say that they are Gerim. And most Rishonim, and this is how it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, understand that what emerges from this Gemara is that L'chadchila, you should not convert such a person. And in fact, some post number of Kuk, for example, has a number of tshuvas where he is fire against the Rabbanim. Not the converts, or the prospective converts. They can do what they want. They can have whatever motivations they want. It's the rabbis who should know better. And he says it's over lifnei either on the rabbis or being. He's very, very upset. So Rav Kook holds that there's an isser on Rabbanim. Not everyone goes as far as Rav Kook. Rav Kook, there's an isser on Rabbanim to convert Gerim who are insincere. But even if you want to go that far, the general consensus of Halacha is that there is a ideally, lechachila, you're not supposed to accept the converts if that's their motivation. That presupposes that you will investigate, so you will know their motivation. You ask them, question their relatives, whatever. You're supposed to do some level of investigative work. The Bezin is required to do that. We'll see that explicitly in the Rambam in a second. Says, but l'chachil, you shouldn't convert them. But if someone did, there's always going to be somebody. Somebody did convert them. B'di'eved, that's how most understand this Gemara. B'di'eved, the Geirus Ischal. What's not clear from the Gemara, we'll have to get to, is why? Isn't Rav Nechemiah very persuasive and very powerful? As we alluded to, if the whole purpose is that you have to be Mekabel Ol Mitzvos, and I'm not being Mekabel Ol Mitzvos, I'm doing it just so that I can marry Yehudis. The cliche non-Jewish woman who wants to marry the Jewish man, I'll be a good husband. I mean, these things are not just cliche, they happen all the time. So that's not a Kabbalah Mitzvos. So why is that? So L'chachilu, we understand why you shouldn't convert them, but the question is better, why should it be even good with the Eved? So those are two questions. Understanding that Gemara is something that we'll have to get back to. Good, so we'll see. So we have to see. The simple understanding is that that's their motivation, right? And again, you can imagine that we see this, we have, it's not just Rabbanim, for most of us probably have family members, who have situations like this, and again, the classic case, it's waning, but not probably for good reasons. The classic case a generation ago was, the Jewish boy goes away, falls in love with an non-Jewish girl, and of course his parents say, you're not getting married unless she converts. So she said, call up the rabbi, can you do the conversion? Right, what's that got to do with Kabbalah Mitzvos? What's that got to do with being sincere or being observant? Let me just see the Rambam, okay? We have a lot to do, and I want to get to the Rambam. The Rambam here is famously difficult. A lot of famously difficult Rambams. A lot of difficult Rambams, a lot of famous Rambams, or even some famously difficult Rambams. And this is one of the most famously difficult Rambams you'll find anywhere. There's been a lot of effort to try to resolve the Rambam, but not enough, probably. There really needs probably more work to be done, certainly more work than we can do tonight. The Rambam discusses Hilchos Geirus and Hilchos Esurei Bia, and that's actually telling. We'll have to see what I mean by that in a few moments. But again, at least for the sake of the placement of the Rambam, let's put it that way, you see that one of, if not the prime focuses, is that one of the things that Geirus changes is that before then, if the person is not Jewish, then you can't have a marriage. You can't marry them. You can't be intimate with them. Geirus changes that and makes it from Isurei to Heterbia. But that's just an interesting bit of all places. That's where the Rambam has his Hilchos Geirus. The end of Perek Yud Gimel of Isurei Bia, Rambam has four or five halachos, which for the fifth halacha, which is the end of the parak, we'll leave aside. But four halachos which are connected, basically, telling halachos and in the beginning telling a story. The Rambam starts off, again, he assumes that we know Tanakh. It was before modern day yeshivas. He assumed that you knew Tanakh. And the Rambam tells us, Al ya'ale al datcha, she'shimshon ha-moshia es Yisrael. Don't think that Shimshon, who was the savior of the Jewish people, O Shlomo melech Yisrael she'nikra, you know, and he quotes, you know, a flowery term from Tanakh, you know, great compliments we know about Shlomo ha-melech and about Shimshon ha-gibor. Don't think that they were Nasu Nashim Nachrius Begiyusan. Don't think they married non-Jewish women. Why would we have thought that? That's what it sounds like in Tanakh. That's what it sounds like in Tanakh. So says the Rambam, don't think that. Elasod Hadover. There's a secret here. Shehah Mitzvah HaNechona. What should happen? And so again, he starts off with a story, and now he digresses to give you halacha. What should happen when you have a case? HaMitzvah HaNechona K'sheyavo HaGerag Yoris L'Sgayer. Prospective convert comes before the rabbi or the bezdin, bodkin acharav, and some poskim are madaik, it doesn't say bodkin, oh so, not check him, which might be like, just ask him some questions. Bodkin acharav, some poskim are madaik, it's actually something more comprehensive, more, you know, exactly, more Matlock-y, you know, more Perry Mason-ish. The Yishmamish do real investigation and look into the person, not just take their word for it if you ask them a few hard questions, let alone easy questions. You have to do real bodkin acharav, real comprehensive investigations into their background. Shemin v'glal mamon, maybe they're just converting for financial gain. Obashil soror, they think there'll be some great power if they become Jewish. Or mifnei hapachar, or maybe they're scared of us. That's why they're becoming Jewish. And if he, and he adds, there's also a romantic factor. Maybe he wants to marry a Jewish girl. He wants to marry a Jewish guy. So what? So you do the investigation. If you don't find the problem, you find nothing that's compromising, then, says the Rambam, then you tell them how difficult it is to be Jew, and how hard the mitzvos are, and the Goyim don't like us, and Kofi Annan doesn't like us, and James Baker doesn't like us, and it's very, very difficult to be a Jew, and you try to talk them out of it. But what happens? In Kimblu, what if they still want to do it? They say, Afal Piken, as the Gemara in Ksuba says, they still want to do it. But you see, they're not running away. They want to become Jewish. They have a sincere me'ahava. So then we accept them. So now we have to get back to the story of Shimshon. That's a digression. Now we're getting back to Shimshon. What happened to Shimshon and Shlomo HaMelech? Lefichach lo kiblu bezdin gerim kol yimei David v'shlomo. Why? Because the Jewish people were so powerful and so mighty and so wealthy at the time that it was impossible, the assumption was, that they would ever have a sincere gerus. The Gemara also says, when else will they mekabel gerim? B'mos HaMashiach, because then we're going to be so on top of the world, how could you ever separate someone's motivation and distill it to be entirely sincere when the Jews are, so to speak, actually really running the world, as opposed to perceived to be running the world. B'mei David, Shema min ha-pachad chazru, maybe they were scared of David, he was a mighty warrior, B'mei Shlomo, Shema v'shila malchus, V'atoba ha-gadolo, Shaibo Yisrael chazru, Shlomo was a mighty king and wealthy, we were worried about the sincerity. Shekol, Chazru min ha-gam, Yishvel Dover, Mehev leha olam, Einem migerei tzedek, right? Says the Rambam here very clearly, because if your motivation is not sincere, but it is may hevle ha'olam, you have some other motivation, that is not considered a ger tzedek. So you weren't supposed to convert anybody. So you wouldn't have any issues with Shlomo, let's say. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, there's always a rabbi. Afal pikein hayu gerim harbe miskarim yimei David u'shlomo bifnei hejotos. They were foolish rabbis, simple rabbis. They weren't listening to Takanas Bezd, and they weren't listening to Takanas David HaMelech, and they were doing conversions al hatzad. They were doing conversions on the side. So Sanhedrin had to decide, what are they going to do with these converts? So they weren't sure. Choshishin. Lo dochen osam achar shetavlu mikom akom lo makarven osam ad shetireh acharisam. They weren't sure what to do with them. We can't push them off. Maybe they're Jews. We can't necessarily accept them. Maybe they're not Jews. It was really a little bit of a limbo. So now we get back to really to Shlomo Melech. Ulefishi gir Shlomo Noshim v'Nosan, Shlomo Melech himself converted these women so that he could marry them. V'chein Shimshon gir v'Nosa. Hadavar Yedua, says the Rambam. Everyone knew. Shelo Chazru Elu Ela B'Shil Davar. But these women were not sincere. They each had power, money, etc. on their mind. Lo al pi bezdin giurum, and it wasn't with the official imprimatur of the Sanhedrin that it happened. Koshvan HaKosav Kilu Hein Goyos Ubi Yisrael Amdin. That's why the Tanakh refers to them as not Jewish, even though they did convert. Kafas HaShalom, if Shlomo HaMelech would just take up with a non-Jewish woman, he converted them. But the Torah, so to speak, Tanakh, was never so happy with that conversion, and therefore alluded to them even as non-Jews. But Ode, now here's the important part, even more important part, says the Rambam, Hochiech Sofanat Chiloson. We know what happened at the end of the day. They were doing Avodah Zarah in Shlomo Melech's palace. Right? They reverted. Shein Oglos Avodah Zarah Shalhen. Ubanalhen Bamos Fa'ala Alava Kasav Ki'ilu Bananit. It punishes Shlomo. It's as if he's responsible for these things. So, were they not Jews or were they Jews?
Who was regarded?
Shlomo, it sounds like. Or maybe he had two rabbis who came with him. That's a different topic to discuss the role of Bezdin and Geirus. That's not my topic tonight. On the one hand, the Rambam says you have to be sincere. On the other hand, he says they weren't sincere. And Hochiach Sofon Al Chilosan. But he also goes out of his way to say, don't say that Shlomo Melech married a non-Jew. Well, which one is it? It seems to be an internal steer in the Rambam. He seems to be, if you'll forgive the phrase, and I really mean this very respectfully, it seems like he wants to preserve the frum picture of them. Chas v'sholom, we should say they married non-Jews. But yet the intellectual honesty of the Rambam can't help but, he's not covering anything up, it's not in the back of the book, he puts it right there, and it's not buried in a footnote. They didn't do it, they shouldn't have converted them to begin with, the conversions weren't sincere, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. The logical conclusion of all that is even if we thought they were Jews initially, it sounds like that retroactively they certainly weren't. So which one is it?
But we're, retroactively?
Yes. If we're not sure, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says we weren't sure. We had to see. Right? The Rambam says in the times of it, not just for his wives. The Rambam says when they had these hedyotos who were converting other people, we weren't sure what to do. So he said, we'll see. We'll have to see how they act. Then we'll know if they were sincere or not. But here we know. So we're left that hanging. That's left hanging. And then one more halacha before we see some of the mafarshim. One more halacha, halacha yidain, and this in isolation is a difficult Rambam. In isolation is a difficult Rambam. We'll see that only one of the commentators I'm going to mention really try to resolve this whole story with Shimshon and Shaul and Shlomo Melech. But many achronim leave out that story. I think it's just too difficult. People don't know what to do with it. But many achronim are bothered and do try to resolve the next halacha, halacha yidain, says the Rambam. He gives you, now he's back to like speaking in his halachic narrator, as the halachic narrator. Ger shalo bad kuacharav. Let's say again, he just told us the Bezdin's supposed to investigate and they're supposed to be Perry Mason. Let's say they didn't. Oh, shloho diyo ha mitzvos. Or you have a really irresponsible Bezdin. They never told him about mitzvos. They just said, here, go get a bris milah, go jump in the mikvah and you'll be fine. They never told him anything. They didn't go, like when I was living in Manhattan, so, for example, Rabbi Alan Schwartz at OZ of Tzedek, he's known as like, not only is he a Talmud Chacham and an expert in Hilchos Geiris, but on the side, a lot of people want to convert, and whether it's there, Lincoln Square, they have very good, very demanding, very real, year-long programs of study. But this says the Rambam, what if they didn't go to one of those year-long programs? They were studying for a year. They didn't know anything. No one told them anything. So here, take. They probably said, "Do you have $500?" In the cases that I've been affiliated with, as I said, people who came to Baltimore, very sincere people, that are bonded, would spend barely a day with them. Charging them hundreds of dollars. Terrible, terrible. Whatever. Don't even get me started on that. But what happened? So they don't know anything. But umal, they did do the circumcision. But tavol, they went to the mikvah. But shnei shlosha hejotos, right? Once you're talking about rabbis who aren't doing what they're supposed to do, you might as well call them hejotos. But okay, but they're still rabbis. They're still kafs with a bezdin. Hari zeger, says the Rambam, you are a convert, even though you don't know anything. But afilu know that shemushil davar umiskayer, and even if you know that they had insincere motivations, hol umal v'taval yata mechal hagayim. But he did mila, he did tefila. It sounds like he is no longer a non-Jew, he's become Jews. But, even then, so okay, just stop there. I have a shiloh on the Rambam if you stop there, but he doesn't stop there. First he says there, Yatza Mechlal Goyim, it's converted. Comma, V'choshishin lo, Achi Yisparet Et Guso. But we're still not sure about them until we can further clarify their sincerity. V'afilu Chazar V'adar Avodah Zarah, Harihuki Yisrael Meshumud. So if you stop there, it sounds like, if I found out that they were insincere, retroactively, they weren't a ger. That's not what the Rambam says. In the next sentence, he says, and even if we find out that they're worshiping Avodah Zarah, e.g., Shlomo Melech's wives, for example, Hari Zehu Ki Yisrael Meshumad, Kedusha of Kedushin, Mitzvah Lahachzer Avodaso, etc. We still find them to be considered Jews. And now, as he concludes the whole parsha, so to speak, one final line where he gets back. He's weaving back and forth between the story and the halacha. He concludes by going right back to the story. He concludes, Ulafichach, Kimu Shimshon Bishlomon Shosehin Afo Pishin Glesoda. Because you could ask Akasha, once they were worshipping at Avodah Zarah, why'd they keep them, if Lumafrei that made them non-Jews? So no, Shlomo Melech held that they're still Jews, and maybe I could be the car of them, I guess. And therefore, he didn't divorce them, or didn't kick them out of the palace, so to speak. Way too many questions than we have time for, even if I had the time, I don't have the answers. But I'll rely on the fact that I don't have the time to get to it. But I do want to try to address these issues in the Rambam, and then get into the Gemara a little bit, and see if we can mention some of the broader issues. In terms of this Rambam, as I said, figuring out the Shlomo Melech Shimshon stuff is very complicated. More than that, Halacha Yitzayin in isolation, many Achronim are very bothered by. The Rambam says explicitly, someone who didn't know anything about mitzvos, who converts, because someone told them, get a bris milah, maybe they had it already, so they just need a pinprick, jump in a bath, you jump in a mikvah, they're Gerim. What seems to be obviously missing in such a case? They don't know anything about mitzvahs. How could you say there was Kabbalah on mitzvahs? There was no mitzvahs. He didn't know anything. Yet the Rambam says that they're converts. So that in isolation, leave aside the story of the previous halachos, or the reference subsequently again to Shimshon and Shlomo, that itself bothers many, many, many achronim. So I just want to mention three answers to the question. Again, a little bit will relate to Shlomo and Shimshon, and more broadly, perhaps Shitas HaRambam when it comes to Kabbalah Samitzos. So there's a famous two tshuvas of the Chemdas Shlomo, where he wants to distinguish between the following. This, again, you can only imagine this could have many repercussions, but he's motivated to try to resolve this Rambam. The Chemdas Shlomo says the following. You have to distinguish between Kabbalah Mitzvos and what he terms Hoda'as Mitzvos. Kabbalah Mitzvos means you're accepting the binding authority of the corpus of Mitzvos. Hoda'as Mitzvos is the Ohav Tzedek year-long Geiris program. In other words, you're learning about the Mitzvos, so you are making an intelligent and informed Kabbalah. So ideally, when you are Mekabel the Mitzvos, you have already known what they were. There was already a Hoda'as, so you know you're being Mekabel. That's ideal, says the Chemda Shlomo. But if you have a case where you have one without the other, it can exist if you have a full and comprehensive Kabbalah, even though you didn't have a Hodah. Namely, what that means to say is, when I'm converting as a convert, even though I don't know anything about the mitzvahs, but I'm a Kabbal, that anything that the Orthodox rabbi will tell me is a mitzvah, I'm going to do. I accept the binding authority of the Torah, I believe in its divinity, and I believe that it regulates everything in my life, and I accept the binding authority of the rabbis. I accept it all. You just have to fill in the blanks. Says the Chemda Shlomo, but the Eved, that's not ideal. The Rambam calls any rabbi who does such a conversion a hedyot. But fundamentally, you have a Kabbalah from Mitzvos. The Rambam says, but you didn't teach them anything. That doesn't mean that there wasn't a Kabbalah from Mitzvos. There was a very weak Kabbalah from Mitzvos, but it was weak only because the rabbi didn't teach them anything. There was no Hodah, but there was a fully sincere Kabbalah. If there would be no Kabbalah, says the Chemda Shlomo, then you can't imagine, of course, there couldn't be a convert even to the Eved. Reflecting that, or working that back into when it comes to the Gerus for marriage, or Shemishas, we'll have to see if that could be worked back. But at least in isolation, that's how he wants to resolve the Rambam. I don't remember if he used that as a model, but perhaps that would be a model, perhaps. I didn't say that. Who used the word reform, who used the word conservative? I didn't. Rambam didn't know about reform, he didn't know about conservative. That's the old joke, right? How do you know that Rambam wasn't a conservative? You know, it's like the old joke, how do you know he had a black hat? How do you know he wasn't? I'm just giving a variation. Rambam describes a case where you have a convert who either you didn't investigate his motivations, so for all we know he has some ulterior motive, and or a case where the Rambam says you didn't tell him anything about mitzvos. Shlo dio lo mitzvos. So it sounds like we all thought, how could it be? Where's the Kabbalah? Says the Chemda Shlomo, no, you can't have a Kabbalah, even if it's out of ignorance, so to speak. They understand that whatever the rabbis will tell them, they're going to listen to, even if they don't know what they're signing a blank check. Says the Chemda Shlomo, you could have such a concept. No, he doesn't, I don't know if that's fine, I don't think he addresses that. He's just discussing halacha, he's dying nicely, like, as I said. Most Achronim don't try to discuss the earlier halachas because it's too difficult. Yeah. Only one of the three answers I'm going to discuss with you tries to resolve those. A second answer I want to mention in one of the very famous Hashkafa essays of Soloveitchik called Kol Dodido Fake, he has a footnote. Of all places, this is tucked away in a footnote in Kol Dodido Fake. He is discussing Geirus. He has some Lumdus and Mila and the Mila of Geirim, which I think I may have discussed in another prior year. But there he quotes the name of his father. He quotes from Moshe Halevi Soloveitchik, who was bothered by this Rambam. People say, you see from this Rambam, Halacha Yizayin, that the Rambam does not require Kabbalah and Mitzvos. And he says, my father said, impossible. By definition, it can't be what the Rambam meant, because that would eviscerate the entire notion of Geirus. Because Geirus equals Kabbalah and Mitzvos. They're synonymous. That's the definition. You can't have Judaism, says Rav, without Torah and Mitzvot. The thing doesn't exist. So to consider a convert without Kabbalah and Mitzvot is impossible. So what does the Rambam mean? Didn't the Rambam seem to imply something? The Rambam stresses Mila. The Rambam stresses going to the mikvah. So he says, look, this is a formal lumdish distinction. Namely, according to the Rambam, there are maisei geirus. There are things that you have to do which are mahave, the geirus, as we would say in Hebrew. In Yiddish, what do you say? Mehave? You all know the word? Shaf, the Geirus. Right? What creates the actual conversion? What is the catalyst? So according to the Rambam, only two things. Mila and Tvila. But of course, it presupposes the context of all of it is that there's a Kabbalah Mitzvos. Without Kabbalah Mitzvos, those other two things are completely meaningless. But nevertheless, according to the Rambam, the Chiddush is that you don't need a formal Kabbalah. That's not part of the formal process. But it's the context that underlies everything, without which it's meaningless. Yes?
Is there significance in Rambam's use of the
Lashon of Yatz Machal? Could be, yes. There's what to hang on every phrase of this Rambam. Yes, I think. Could be. I've discussed that, I think, in earlier Shurim. Is it possible to be in a halachic netherworld? Right? Not Jewish, but not yet Jewish. Right, so I don't know. I don't remember people quoting this Rambam, but it struck me as I read it today. Also, the same thing. I want to mention just one final approach, which is the only one that I know of that tries to really resolve all of these, but it comes up with a huge chiddush. So, but that is an essay by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik published an essay in a sefer called Kavod HaRav. Kavod HaRav was published by YU in honor of Soloveitchik's 80th birthday. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think Rav Ruderman wrote for it. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote for it. Rav Gifter wrote for it. A lot of the Rav's friends, among the other Gedolei Torah, wrote, as well as many of the YU Rebbeim wrote. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik wrote a piece. At the time, he was still in Chicago. He wasn't yet, at that moment, he wasn't a faculty member even in YU. It was Brisk Chicago. But he wrote a whole piece on Geirus, and he really tries to get at all of these Rambams. And I don't have time to get into all of the details, but basically, he seems to say very differently than his brother, than his father. Big Kiddush, and he says that you see, according to the Rambam, in theory, there can be conversion without Kabbalah and Mitzvos. Pilei ploy, unbelievable Kiddush. But what? But aren't you lacking something? Yes, says Rav Aaron. If you don't have a Kabbalah and Mitzvos, and this is where the title of the Rambam's Hilchos What, Yisrei Bia, comes in, says the Rav, there's two parts to conversion. There's becoming a Jew per se, and then there's Heter Lavo Lakahal, being able to marry into the Jewish people. Says, and he has other makaros, the Rishonim, for example, Midaraisa, originally part of the Geirus, is to bring a carbon. What if someone does Mila, Tila, Kabbalah, Mitzvot, everything, but then never brought a carbon? So some Rishonim will say the person is Jewish, they're Chayiv and all the Mitzvot, and they're not allowed to marry other Jews. But it's that twilight zone he didn't create. But his Chiddush is to apply that to Shitas and Rambam when it comes to Kabbalah Mitzvot. He held that the Rambam's Kabbalah Mitzvot, in that sense, was a technical performance. He says there are certain things which you need to do which create the Geirus, and there are other things which you just have to do. But if you don't do it, you're still a Jew. It's just that you can't get married. So he says if you get married, the Shem Ishus, for example, you're getting married because you want to, you're converting because you want to get married, but not because you have a sincere Kabbalah Mitzvot. Then you are fully Jewish, but you don't have a Heter Lavo Kol. And therefore, getting back to the Rambam, he says the following. Of course, the Delilah and whoever married, Bas Paro, who married Shlomo HaMelech, of course they converted at the time of the wedding, or else it would have been usher to marry them. But since they worshipped the Avodah Zarah at the end, so that obviously reflects what? That nullifies their Kabbalah Mitzvahs. Obviously they weren't Makabal Mitzvahs if they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it was no longer mutter to be married to them. But, said the Rambam, don't think that they were married to non-Jews. Exactly, says Avaron. Because even after that, it doesn't nullify their entire gerus. It nullifies the heter to be married to them. But they're still Jews. But then the shaila is, how come they didn't get divorced? How come they didn't get divorced? So he adds, because they thought, and again, I already mentioned this a little bit, hinted it in the Rambam himself, but Ravaron really says this explicitly. I don't know if anyone else says such a pshat. So they thought that they could be makar of them. And therefore, and if they would be makar of them, then retroactively, they would always have been Jewish. And therefore, maybe the Rambam's saying in hindsight, the Rambam's fully critical of them. Maybe they should have divorced them. But not because they weren't Jewish. The Rambam stressed that they're Jewish because at the time, they had a full gerus. The fact that they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, which shows that they really didn't have in their heart of hearts a Kabbalah of Mitzvos, so that just gave it an Isser Bia, but it did not make them no longer Jewish. And therefore, on the one hand, they were still Jewish, which is why they were required yet, but David and Shlomo, so to speak, thought they knew better, and we know Shlomo Melech certainly was criticized for his excesses in this area of his life. So it's not just this Rambam, or this Pshat by Rav Aaron that alludes to that. The Rambam was clearly being critical of them, but not willing to say that they married non-Jews. That's the stress of the Rambam. And we tried to say, you know, what were they trying to be shomer, I suppose, being on the frumkite, but Rav Aaron gives it much more depth. He says, yes, because they were always Jewish, even with that mistake, even with that error at the end, even with that insincerity. It's just that it was no longer mutter to marry them. So it's interesting because, you know, if you take this Rav Aaron approach to the gerus for marriage, so then when I shared this with somebody, a certain other rabbinical student, they got all excited. Oh, you see, we shouldn't be so critical of Reform conversions and not conservative conversions and all of these other wild, even weak Orthodox conversions for marriage. Because you see that Rav Aaron says, so even if you wanted to hold like this, so it doesn't help you at all. Because the whole reason that they do is also get married. And Rav Aaron would have been the biggest takif and the biggest machmer that he wouldn't let you get married. So you want to hold like this Rav Aaron, that great, that gets you nowhere. You know, you want to add to the Orthodox single population, maybe. Or the non-Orthodox single population. But it's not going to, but no one wants to do that. If you told someone, yes, you can become a ger, but you can't marry anybody, even though the whole reason you're converting is to marry, who's that helping? That's not accepting anybody. I only have a few more minutes left. Do I have a few more minutes, even? One more minute. I just want to mention, I have so much more that I didn't say. Okay, I don't even know where.
Keep it for next week.
Next week is a different parsha. I don't know. I just want to mention the following. I'll end on a chumrah.
Why not?
It's gerus. I have to. I'll end on a chumrah. Why should gerus l'shem ishus work? After all, they're insincere. They're doing it for marriage. So. Again, I'm skipping half the shir. The Ritva and the Nemuki Yosef say a chiddush that really there is kabbalas mitzvos. What do you mean? It's not for the, why? Because the goal that you wanted, i.e., to be married to Yankel or to Rivka, whoever it is, you could only have that if you live a life of an observant Jew. Obviously, if you could have gotten the marriage without that, you would never have converted. But given that you have that constant pressure that you want to be married, you want to stay married, etc., agav onsei gomer umakable. That's as if it's an external, it's superficial, it's external, but it works. It ultimately, even though, of course, they go into the rabbi's office thinking, I'm only doing it to get married, I'm not so sincere, maybe that's true. But the bottom line is the pressure of wanting to get married, the pressure of wanting to stay married, is such that in the end of the day, and we have this concept in Baba Basra and other contexts, that onus, that pressure will overwhelm whatever insincerity and get you at least enough of an actual acceptance. That is, I don't have to, let me finish, please. So that is the Shita of the Ritva, that is the Shita of the Muki Yosef, and many, many, many poskim assume that is the correct pshat. Now, why is it important if that's the correct pshat or not? Because there's an entire huge group of very, very prominent achronim who say that, therefore, we have big trouble. Because even if it was true in the time of the Gemara that you shouldn't have converted such people to Chachila, but Lamaisi, if you did, Agav, Onsei, Gomorrah, Makable, and therefore at least it's a good marriage, and especially if it's a non-Jewess, the children will be Jewish, because Bidyev, it's a good Gerus. Nowadays, in the society that we live in, is there really an onus Is there really an Agav Onsei that you can say there's a societal pressure that he'll only stay as a legitimate member of the community, he'll only get to stay in his marriage if he lives a life of an observant Jew? If I was going through my notes more kaseder, I forget which post, like one of the posts can point it out, if the Jewish spouse is not observant, that's an umdud demuchach, then of course that's not going to happen. But I give you just as a quick list, the Dvar Avram was one of the earliest, Dvar Avram, the Kav Nagon, Rabbi Shapiro, he was one of the first who says that Bezman Hazeh, you can't rely on that anymore. Rav Breish from Switzerland, the Chalkas Yaakov, felt very, very strongly. Rav Cook has two tshuvas like this. Rav Moshe has a tshuva like this in 1929, before he even emigrated, where he was stressing this. Diane Weiss, and one of the most passionate people was Rav Herzog Zatzal, in his Heichal Yitzchak. Rav Herzog was actually asked by Rav Breish from Switzerland, so you have Rav Herzog's tshuva in two places, in his Heichal Yitzchak, and also the Chalkas Yaakov quotes Rav Herzog in a letter inside the tshuva, where he goes on and on, and he writes, and you can imagine, we know how involved Rav Herzog was in the leadership of Eretz Yisrael. He says, nowadays, says Rav Herzog, of course it's not true. You can be a leader. We can only imagine who he's referring to. He says, you can be a leader in Medina Yisrael. You can be a leader of the Jewish people. Be Michal Shabbos before Hetzia. Ochel, Nevelis and Trevis before Hetzia. How could you possibly say that our society is the same as it was when the Ramban, when the Ritzvah is describing this Agav Onsei? What onus? What pressures are to be observance? You can do whatever you want in Jewish life and you're fully accepted. So just because you pretend to convert? Of course not. And therefore, all of these poskim hold that such a conversion seems like b'dieved is still no good. Now, l'maisa, these shalas still come up every single day. And if you know of somebody in such a case, again, please, I'm not poskim, needless to say, from the pulpit, so to speak. But both l'kula and l'chumra, there are many, many ramifications that would flow from this, if you accept these, it's a fascinating phenomenon. But you have heterim that are explicitly in a Gemara and Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch, but you have a growing consensus of 20th century, let's put it that way, poskim who want to be machmir. Again, it's just interesting. I'll close with this. Very often, Rabbanim here, sometimes respectfully, sometimes less respectfully, comments from people, that the rabbis have to get with the times and we have to be in tune with societal changes, and whatever the nafkamina is. It's almost always, therefore, we should be more makel. That's the gist of those type of comments, usually. And sometimes they're legitimate, sometimes they're not. So this is a very difficult sugya to talk about, because, it's kashim gerim. There's so many problems, unfortunately, because of it. But one thing that gives me a half a smile is that here you have an example of poskim who are very open-minded. They know exactly what's going on in the real world. They're not in their ivory tower. All the things that people want their rabbanim to be. And therefore, you have a chumrah. Not a kula, therefore a chumrah. And that's, of course, how it should be. There's no reason to assume that societal trends would only be blanket kulas, right? That's in the news now, from a different branch of Judaism. But you can be very open to what's going on, but that shouldn't always lead to kulas, right? When's the last time, the Halakhic Commission of JTS came up with a chumrah? Has there been one chumrah in 100 years? So that's an umdun ad-muchach, that there's something insincere going on. Of course, halakha is open and sees what's going on. But sometimes that's l'kula, sometimes that's l'chumra. Here you have an example with a huge number of incredibly prominent poskim who are open to societal change, and therefore you have a chumra. It's worth considering.